This gospel passage of the Canaanite woman always reminds me of something that happened when I was in seminary. There was a program, I think it still exists, called Clinical Pastoral Education. And it's in a hospital setting. You do a lot of hospital visitation, but there's also a lot of kind of a psychological component to it, but kind of reflecting on, you know, how you react in different situations and things like that. Some of the seminarians didn't really like it very much. My experience was good, but anyhow. And I was at a hospital that was in Evansville, Indiana, actually, for a summer when I was in seminary. And it was interesting, there were three people, and it's an ecumenical program, so there are people from other religious communities there. And so there were three people, and they were on a whole year program, and boy, they really didn't get along with each other. It was kind of funny to see. But there were four of us in the summer program, and three of us were Catholic seminarians. One was for the Diocese of Owensboro, Kentucky, and the other one's for the Diocese of Evansville right there, so not too far away. And the other, though, was very interesting. She was a woman who was, you know, at least a generation or so older than we were. We almost sort of like a mother in a way for us. And she'd had a very, she was from a liberal Protestant background and had really a searcher. You know, she was one of these people who's always really asking questions and never feeling very comfortable, frankly, to tell you the truth. And it's really kind of funny. The four of us got along great. It was really funny. You would think that might have been sort of not at the, you know, great mix, but it really was. And I particularly got to know her pretty well. That summer I was staying in a parish. There's a town in Kentucky just across the Ohio River from Evansville called Henderson, Kentucky. And I happened to have a priest friend who was in the parish there, so I was living in the rectory in Henderson, but it's just across the river to Evansville. And she also lived in Henderson, so we would carpool back and forth, you know, to the hospital. And so, you know, we'd have time to, you know, talk a little bit going back and forth across that big bridge over the Ohio River. But anyhow, I learned a lot from her, and some good things that were very important for me to learn. One was to be a little bit more sensitive about other people, you know, and I could still learn a little bit about that, to tell you the truth. And I've learned more since then, too, but it was very good. And this particular passage of the gospel was one that she referred to frequently because it was something that she felt she had experienced a good bit in her life, in the church, from the time she was even growing up, even until pretty recent times. She was very religious, had always been involved in church in her whole life. And this line, she would quote it frequently from what the apostles said to Jesus about this Canaanite woman. And it's funny, the lady I'm talking about, she used her hands a lot. She had this little gesture she would do. And she said, you know, they came up to Jesus and they said, tell her to go away. Send her away. And she said, you know, I have felt many times in my life, especially my life in the church, I have felt like that. I was hearing that. Tell her to go away. You know, isn't that a terrible thing? And yet, I think maybe that's a pretty common experience for a lot of people. I mean, rightly or wrongly, maybe they're perceiving it wrong or whatever, but I think a lot of people have heard or felt that they've heard, tell her to go away. Tell her to go away. She's bothering us. And that's not just in a religious setting, although that's a particularly painful place to encounter it. But I'm afraid that's a lot of that. What was it? Why were the apostles saying that? You know, they were saying it because this woman was irritating them. They were irritated by her. And I think if we're not careful, that can be our response to irritating people. Whether we say it or not, we think it, and maybe we might act on it. I wish they'd just go away. Don't raise your hands. Anyhow, then. Do you see how this is playing into how maybe I learned a little bit about sensitivity from this woman? And Jesus shows the disciples and this woman a different way. It's not an easy way for either party, actually. But it's a far, far better way. Because does Jesus do what the disciples say? Does Jesus tell her to go away? No, he doesn't. Actually, he tells her something maybe harsher than that, but with a purpose, not to get rid of her. And it's like, go away. It's just like, I don't want to bother with you. Jesus never says that. Jesus is always happy to bother with us, even with what he's bothering us with might be sort of difficult. Because Jesus is obviously very interested in this woman. Because if you look at this woman in the gospel passage, and I have to say this of my friend as well, obviously she's coming with the right motives. Because how did she approach Jesus in the first place? Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. She recognizes Jesus as Savior, first off. Have pity on me, Lord. And then this pagan woman calls Jesus Son of David. That's a very Jewish thing for a pagan to say, isn't it? Have pity on me, Lord. So she's a woman who recognizes her need for Jesus and a woman of great faith in Jesus. That's always going to get Jesus' attention. And then the disciples come along, tell her to go away. And Jesus says instead, he says to the woman, he says, you know, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My mission is really to the Jewish people, at least at this point. And she says, and then she replies again, Lord, help me. It's that statement of faith in Jesus as Savior. And Jesus comes back at her and says these very difficult words. It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. That was sort of displaying a typical Jewish attitude towards the pagan people around them. And then she replies again in tremendous humility and faith. Please, Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters. What humility. What faith. And that's exactly what Jesus says to her. A woman, great is your faith. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? It's amazing when Jesus pays people compliments. A woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. So Jesus shows us that what we need to do with one another, if we really want to, like, for people who are irritating to us, like this woman was to the disciples, or people that we've had some kind of falling out with, or this or that or the other, the way to deal with them is to be Christ to them. And that's a risky, dangerous business. It might end you up there. But if you do, the doors are opened and the other person can walk through. And that's exactly what happens here in a powerful and beautiful way. It's risky. It's very risky. But it is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the way he shows how we are to relate with one another. And we seem these days to be particularly bad at this. We tend to be acting exactly like the disciples. Oh, go away. You bother me. I don't like you. You think this or that or the other or whatever, or something like that. That was, for me, what was so exciting, what was in hindsight of this experience with this woman, Miss Ann, as we called her, Miss Ann. And she was that we really had some very fundamental disagreements on important things. and held, you know, held very deeply. And yet, there was tremendous respect and really tremendous love in our whole group. And we were able really to work together beautifully. Now, that doesn't mean we always agreed. But it means we were able to listen to one another and to accept one another, to be Christ with it, to be willing to live in an uncomfortable, maybe, situation. Because at the end of the day, there wasn't really a way you could just sort of tie it up, wrap it up in a nice package, put a bow on top and say, oh, all done, that's all nice and easy now. And you know, that's the way it is in life a lot too, isn't it? In human relationships, especially. Maybe even in our relationship with God. Sometimes it's not always easy to get to, you know, like a finishing a math problem. Okay, done, finish that one, you know. A lot of times it's messy and it remains messy. But as long as we are willing, at least one person is willing to be Christ, that situation has hope. And that I have to thank Miss Ann for. She was willing to be Christ first and accept me, frankly, before I was willing to accept her, to tell you the truth. I ended up at the end of seminary, you had to write over your different pastoral assignments that you had either during the year in the seminary or in the summer times. You had to write a big paper. It was kind of one of your sort of capstone, they call them nowadays, kind of thing for the seminary. And I ended up writing my paper about that summer and particularly with that relationship, you know, how to figure it out in Christ. Because at the end of the summer and to this day, I haven't been in touch with Miss Anna in a while, I have to confess. I still think there'd be pretty wide gaps between us, to tell you the truth, in a lot of things. And yet, I know if I were to reach out to her or she were to reach out to me, it would be with great respect and affection as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, being willing to be in that uncomfortable situation with one another. And so I just encourage you to take this message, this learn from this. And I'm going to try to do better myself, you know. I have to say, it's one of the things I feel like maybe sometimes I'd give people that impression that I just want them to go away. Terrible thing, you know. In my better self, I want to say, no, I want to engage with you. And maybe what I have to say to you is something you're not going to like to hear. And that happens sometimes. I'm going to try to say it honestly and truthfully and with respect. But that doesn't alter the fact that I have respect for you and desire your good, even if at the end of the day we part not seeing eye to eye. On the other hand, this has the great potential of bringing about reconciliation. It did in this case. A woman, great is your faith. And we see that again and again with Jesus. Think about that other woman Jesus has that encounter with, the woman at the well. Wow, that's an interesting encounter, you know? And there is a tremendous reconciliation there. It seemed very unlikely, and yet it happened. You know, and I think that's one of the things that can happen for us. That summer was an experience of this for me. And I think in our own lives, it seems like something is conspiring in these days to make us maybe a little harsh and judgmental with one another. Not only people that are sort of out there, but maybe even, you know, people we have to spend a lot of time with, maybe even our own families and this sort of thing. And so remember, okay, I will be Christ to you. I will not say, oh, just go away. I will take the risk to engage with you. It doesn't always work. I hate to break the news to you. Sometimes it's not going to work. But it opens the door. And a lot of times that's all a person is waiting for, is for the door to open. Jesus always opens the door. Jesus always takes the risk. So remember that. The door is never shut to you with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always willing to run the risk and to take the first step. And we need to be like him.